33,200, mostly women and children. The Islamic Resistance in Iraq carries out new anti-Israeli operations, targeting two barracks in the occupied Golan and the occupied Palestinian territories. And Iran's foreign minister says Israel is caught in the Gaza quagmire and has failed to achieve any of its goals in its genocidal war on the territory. Hello everyone, thank you for joining us. Now, Israel has launched fresh airstrikes and artillery shells on Gaza, keeping the Palestinian territory in a state of catastrophe. As 6 civilians were killed in the regime's aerial attacks on a commercial facility south of the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza. Israeli warplanes also hit a group of people in a town near the southern city of Rafah, killing at least one and injuring several others. In Gaza City, 6 dead bodies were recovered from under the rubble of a house that was bombed by the Israeli military. The death toll from the U.S.-Israeli genocide in Gaza since October the 7th stands at over 33,100, most of them women and children. The genocidal campaign is now in its 7th month, despite international calls to end the bloodshed. The UN Humanitarian Coordinator for Palestine warns that the Gaza situation is simply catastrophic. Israel says it has pulled most of its troops out of southern Gaza in what is said is a move to recuperate and prepare for future offensives. 3 Israeli brigades left the southern city of Khan Yunis, but another remained to prevent displaced Palestinians from returning to their homes in the north. The Israeli military said a significant force will remain in the rest of the besieged Gaza Strip. The military wing of the Hamas resistance movement said Israel was forced to end its operations before achieving its goals. The Al-Qassam brigades dismissed Israel's claims that it has destroyed resistance forces in those areas from where it has withdrawn. Al-Qassam added that resistance forces have always surprised Israel. Moti Abu Musabbe, our correspondent in Deir al-Balah, joined us earlier with an update on Israel's announcement about the partial withdrawal from the southern Gaza Strip. Let's take a listen.
The Israeli occupation forces withdrew completely from Khan Yunis city after roughly 3 consecutive months of the continuous fighting. According to Al-Qassam brigades, that withdrawal actually came as a result of the fierce and the resilient Palestinian resistance that faced the Israeli occupation forces in all battlefields in Khan Yunis city. And they even hours after that withdrawal, the Palestinian resistance actually launched a barrage of the Palestinian missiles into the occupied territories in a clear message that all cruelty and all that brutality waged against the Palestinian people in Khan Yunis city and in all against all areas of Gaza Strip would never succeed to eradicate the Palestinian resistance, and the Palestinian resistance is still able to practice the genuine right of the resistance against the Israeli occupation forces. In the meantime, the Israeli occupation forces claimed that withdrawal came in the context of the Israeli preparations and to repositioning in order to wage another ground offensive against Rafah and Deir al-Balah city here. So these are the claims that claimed and promoted by the Israeli occupation forces that they are bracing to wage another ground offensive against Rafah city and Deir al-Balah city. So the upcoming days are decisive in terms of what will take place on the ground here, either when it comes to Deir al-Balah city or when it comes to Rafah city.
International aid organizations have decried the colossal death toll from the 6 months of Israel's onslaught on Gaza and other devastating effects it has left on the besieged strip. The World Health Organization chief said this would remain a stain on all of humanity. Tedros Adhanom said the denial of basic needs, food, fuel, sanitation, shelter, security and healthcare is inhumane and intolerable. The International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies described the situation as, quote, beyond catastrophic, with millions of lives being at the risk of hunger. It was where it warned that humanity has been all but abandoned. The Secretary General of the international medical charity Doctors Without Borders says international humanitarian law is being violated on a daily basis in Gaza. He has described the worsening situation in hospitals across the besieged territory. Let's take a listen.
we are definitely seeing rates of rising rates of malnutrition. We are up to the in the situation in places like the Al-Aqsa Hospital, which is in a middle area of Gaza. We're in a really critical situation where our medics there are having to choose between giving beds to trauma patients who are seeking assistance and medication and surgery for some horrendous wounds, versus giving those beds to malnourished children. So we're absolutely seeing rapidly increasing rates of malnutrition. Firstly, there needs to be much more supply coming in, much more land crossings opened. And at the same time, that needs to, what we need to be aware of is that it's much more than counting trucks across the border. And a lot of the narrative that we have seen in terms of supply in this conflict has been oversimplified. And actually moving supplies around the Gaza Strip is critical. Being able to have medics who are qualified, fed in a mentally fit state to be able to treat patients is essential for providing humanitarian assistance. And hospitals, if I look at it from a hospital perspective, are obviously more than four walls and a roof. They're about running water, electricity, fuel, communication. And just on international humanitarian law, there are now 200 aid workers that have been killed in the Gaza Strip. There was the tragic incident from the World Central Kitchen just this week, which has brought attention to this issue. But international humanitarian law is being broken on a daily basis in the Gaza Strip.
A cancer-stricken Palestinian prisoner has passed away aged 62 after spending nearly four decades in Israeli jails. Waleed Dakka died on Sunday at a hospital near Tel Aviv. He suffered from chronic lung disease and was diagnosed with bone marrow cancer in December 2022 as a result of decades-long detention. Dakka's condition deteriorated further due to severe pneumonia and kidney failure reported in March last year. The Palestinian Prisoner Society has attributed his death to medical negligence and Israel's policy of slow killing against sick inmates. Dakka was arrested in 1986 and remained behind bars under the regime's so-called administrative detention policy, in which a person is held without trial for an indefinite period. According to prisoner groups, Israeli jail authorities frequently delay checkups and urgent surgeries for Palestinian inmates. Islamic resistance in Iraq says it has targeted two Israeli military sites in the occupied territories in response to the regime's massacres of Palestinians in the Gaza Strip. In a statement, the resistance group said it struck Israel's Western Yarden barracks in the occupied Syrian Golan Heights using a drone. A separate statement said that Yonatan barracks, located in the occupied Palestinian territories, was also hit. The resistance group underlined that it will continue to target Israeli positions and interests in solidarity with Gazans, who have been under incessant Israeli attacks for more than 6 months. In recent months, the Islamic resistance in Iraq has carried out a series of attacks against Israeli targets. It has also hit U.S. military bases in Iraq and neighboring Syria in retaliation for Washington's support for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. Iran's foreign minister says Israel is caught in the Gaza quagmire as the regime has achieved none of its goals in its war on the Palestinian territory. Hossein Amir Abdullahian made the remark in a presser with his Omani counterpart in Muscat. The Iranian foreign minister said Israel is following the policy of warmongering and escalation in the region. He added that Washington has always fully supported Tel Aviv's warmongering policy. Amir Abdullahian also pointed to Israel's attack on the Iranian embassy in Syria. He noted that the U.S. cannot shirk its responsibility for its support for the Israeli crimes. Amir Abdullahian said Iran is an island of stability, or stability and security in West Asia, adding that the Islamic Republic will not allow anyone to violate the country's national security. Omani Foreign Minister Sayed Badr al-Busaidi, for his part, said Tehran and Muscat will work together to find solutions to regional tensions, including the Israeli aggression against Gaza. Following his visit to Oman, Iran's Foreign Minister will travel to Damascus as part of a regional tour. The Yemeni army is continuing with its pro-Palestinian operations despite Western military action and threats. Yemen says there will be more such attacks on Israeli-linked and Western ships until the regime stops its genocide in Gaza. Earlier, we discussed the issue in our news review program.
It's time now for the news review. The Yemeni army says it's launched new strikes on ships belonging to Israel and its Western allies. Brigadier General Yahya Sarid, the spokesman of the Yemeni armed forces, said that five military operations were performed during 72 hours. The attacks included a Navy missile strike on a British ship and a drone attack on American military frigates in the Red Sea. Two Israeli ships were also successfully targeted in the Indian Ocean and the Arabian Sea using a number of ballistic missiles. The Yemeni army stressed that such military operations will go on until the end of the aggression against Gaza. Now, I'm inviting a couple of guests to discuss this a bit and get some more information. So, Abdul Latif Al-Washali, our correspondent, joining me from Sana'a. Mohsen Naqvi, human rights activist, is also joining me from Houston, Texas. Good to see you both, gentlemen. So, Abdul Latif, tell us more about this latest retaliatory operation by the Yemeni armed forces and about what the operations have been targeting. And as usual, they've been successful, and we just hear that the armed forces of Yemen are adamant to go on with such operations until the siege on Gaza is lifted.
Thank you so much. For the very first time, we see the spokesman of the Yemeni army speaking and announcing the successful targeting of an Israeli ship in the Indian Ocean. And you know, it's very far from the Yemeni territories to the Indian Ocean. So the Yemeni army would absolutely need very sophisticated weapons and missiles to reach those moving targets, which are ships. You know, the ships are moving in the sea, so it's very difficult to target a moving target. So I believe now that the Yemeni army is really capable of targeting the Israeli and American and British ships in the Red Sea and Gulf, and also on the Indian Ocean. And this operation proves that the recent statements by the leaders of Ansar One, including Sayyid Abdul Malik al-Houthi, that they have very sophisticated missiles. They were not mere media propaganda. They were true. They are capable of targeting and chasing the Israeli ships in the Indian Ocean. According, you know, to the monitor, the American website, this is that the U.S. now is looking for a diplomatic way to calm down the situation in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden. You know, they failed militarily to stop the Yemeni army from attacking their interests in the region. The Yemeni army is continuing its operations in the Red Sea and Gulf of Aden now.
Okay, thanks for that. Now, Mohsen, as you know, people around the world and also a number of governments have been lending their support for the Palestinians, especially since the past 6 months when this genocidal war started. But Iraqis and also Hezbollah fighters in Lebanon and Yemenis in particular, they have actually taken action against this. And despite all the problems they have back home, they're standing strong and they're fighting this. So tell us about the significance and also how effective this has been, because you know, the Israeli economy is really in shambles.
Yes, absolutely. So calling for a ceasefire in the United Nations is obviously not enough. We've seen the inaction of the international community, where we only hear words, which have been important from a diplomatic standpoint, but we need to see direct action. Direct action is what brings the concrete results that directly affect the Zionist regime, actions that can directly help the Palestinians in either lifting the siege on Gaza, calling for a ceasefire, a permanent ceasefire, and a permanent evacuation of Israeli troops from Gaza. So the direct action that we've seen from the axis of resistance, specifically the Hezbollah and specifically the Ansarullah from Yemen, that's the kind of action that we need from all Arab countries to really be able to show that they're serious when they call Israel their enemy. And direct action will show and prove that they are serious in really giving the Zionist regime a tough time in terms of their existence in the West Asia region.
All right, thank you so much for that. Abdul Latif Al-Washali, correspondent in Sana'a, Mohsen Naqvi, human rights activist in Houston, Texas.
Turkish police have detained dozens of protesters demanding an end to the country's trade ties with Israel. Footage has gone viral of Turkish riot police violently forcing protesters into vans in Istanbul. Turkish activists said protesters were also tortured. In public, President Recep Tayyip Erdogan has been severely critical of Israel, even comparing Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to Adolf Hitler. Turkey, however, continues to export a whole range of products to Israel, including explosives, aircraft parts, and weapons and ammunition. On the streets, tens of thousands of Turks have been holding anti-Israel rallies during the genocide in Gaza. Earlier, we discussed the issue with Jim Kavanaugh, political analyst and blogger, who joined us from New York. He told us that Turkey under Erdogan is an opportunist state and will continue its trade ties with Israel. Let's take a listen.
President Erdogan is a character who's extremely shrewd. You know, he has a basic ideological opposition to Israel and Zionism that he's going to state. But as you say, he's going to continue business as usual. Look, Turkey's exported something like $320 million in goods to Israel since this year. That includes weapons and ammunition. Many countries were normalizing relations with Israel, were absolutely accepting the Zionist project as a fait accompli. And I think Turkey was willing to do that as well. You know, the United States, Joe Biden can get up and say, it's horrible what they're doing, and then give them weapons to do it. You know, they're going over the top with this. They have to stop killing Palestinian civilians, but here are your bombs to do it. And, you know, the spokesman for the National Security Council and for the State Department can't get up and say, after what we saw at the Flower Massacre and Al-Shifa Hospital and the killing of the World Central Kitchen workers, we don't think Israel's doing anything that's against humanitarian law. So you have this phenomenon, again, of countries that are playing both sides against the middle and trying to figure out where this is going to go. And unfortunately, I think Turkey is one of them in that respect.
Thank you for listening. Take care and bye-bye.
This is the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily, round the clock, for listeners across the globe. The voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran can be heard by the internet, shortwave, FM, and satellites. Our listeners in the Indian subcontinent can listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 31 meters, 9,650 kilohertz every day from 1520 to 1620 UTC. Also, our listeners in Southern Africa can tune in to the English service of the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran via shortwave 25 meters, 11,880 kilohertz every day from 1920 to 2020 UTC. Our listeners in Tehran can also listen to our program via FM 91.5 MHz. You can also listen to the voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on IranSat or BAT 5 and IntelSat 39 and via the internet. Our internet address is pasttoday.ir/en. Now you can listen to Arabi English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program, PO Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about our audio quality and other means. Thank you.
in the limelight.
A spokesperson for the independent U.S. presidential candidate Robert Kennedy Jr. said a passage in a fundraising email that called 6th of January prisoners activists stripped of their constitutional liberties was the result of an error by an outside contractor. We take a look at some of the world press and media's coverage of this story. Please stay with us. The British newspaper The Guardian has covered this story and tells us more. Robert F. Kennedy Jr., the lawyer, conspiracy theorist and independent candidate for U.S. president, vowed to investigate whether prosecutorial discretion was abused for political ends in convictions of 6th of January 2021 rioters, just one day after his campaign said a fundraising reference to such prisoners as activists was an unfortunate error. In a statement on Friday, 5th of April, Robert Kennedy said that as president, he would appoint a special counsel, an individual respected by all sides, to investigate whether prosecutorial discretion was abused for political ends in this case, and I will right any wrongs that we discover. On 6th of January 2021, Donald Trump's supporters attacked the U.S. Capitol building after the former president told them to fight like hell to block certification of his defeat by Joe Biden. 9 deaths are linked to the attack, including law enforcement suicides. More than 1,300 arrests have been made and nearly 1,000 convictions secured, some for seditious conspiracy. Some rioters have been held before trial. Donald Trump was impeached for inciting an insurrection, but acquitted when enough Senate Republicans stayed loyal to him. Now the presumptive Republican presidential nominee, Trump has called 6th of January prisoners hostages and unbelievable patriots. Promoted a rendition of the national anthem performed in a Washington jail and said that if re-elected, he will free the January 6 hostages being wrongfully imprisoned. Recently, the Kennedy campaign ran into a media firestorm when a fundraising email referred to 6th of January activists sitting in a Washington, D.C. jail cell stripped of their constitutional liberties and compared them to Edward Snowden, the National Security Agency whistleblower who lives in exile in Russia, and to Julian Assange, the WikiLeaks founder held in a British prison while the U.S. seeks his extradition. Amid uproar, a Kennedy spokesperson said that statement was an error that does not reflect Kennedy's views. It was inserted by a new marketing contractor and slipped through the normal approval process. But on Friday, 5th of April, Robert Kennedy indicated that he does think some January 6 prisoners might be activists wrongly imprisoned. He said, 6th of January is one of the most polarizing topics on the political landscape. I am listening to people of diverse viewpoints on it in order to make sense of the event and what followed. I want to hear every side of this. He noted, it is quite clear that many of the 6th of January protesters broke the law in what may have started as a protest but turned into a riot. Because it happened with the encouragement of President Trump, and in the context of his delusion that the election was stolen from him, many people see it not as a riot, but as an insurrection. Robert Kennedy added, I have not examined the evidence in detail, but reasonable people, including Trump opponents, tell me there is little evidence of a true insurrection. They observed that the protesters carried no weapons, had no plans or ability to seize the reins of government, and that Donald Trump himself had urged them to protest peacefully. British newspaper The Independent has also covered the same story and tells us more. That statement was in accordance with others collected by NBC News, in which Robert Kennedy has questioned or dismissed the severity of events on 6th of January 2021. Furthermore, the House committee that investigated January 6 detailed how protesters did carry weapons, some armed with guns, how Donald Trump whipped up the crowd before belatedly appealing for calm, and how the riot followed lengthy attempts to find a legalistic way to keep Trump in power. Robert Kennedy continued, "Like many reasonable Americans, I'm concerned about the possibility that political objections motivated the vigor of the prosecution of the 6th of January defendants, their long sentences, and their harsh treatment." Echoing claims by Donald Trump and Republicans in Congress, he said, "That would fit a disturbing pattern of the weaponization of government agencies against political opponents. One can, as I do, oppose Donald Trump and all he stands for and still be disturbed by the weaponization of government against him." Robert Kennedy polls in double figures, has attracted millions of dollars in donations, has named a running mate, Nicole Shanahan, as an attorney, and is seeking ballot access in key states. But he remains most likely to act as a spoiler this November, siphoning off votes from both candidates, but many observers think doing more damage to Joe Biden. In his Friday, 5th of April statement, Robert Kennedy claimed to be following the example of the second U.S. President, John Adams, a staunch patriot who in 1770 took on an unpopular task, defending the British soldiers involved in the Boston Massacre. Robert Kennedy also said Democrats as well as Republicans were using 6th of January to pour fuel on the fire of America's divisions, and charged both parties with demonizing opponents as apocalyptic threats to democracy. However, many observers view Robert Kennedy himself as a threat to U.S. democracy. On Friday, 5th of April, before Kennedy issued his statement about 6th of January, Rana Epting of Move On, a progressive advocacy group, and Matthew Bennett of Third Way, a centre-left group, described to reporters plans to switch from campaigning against No Labels, the centrist group that dropped out of the presidential race recently, to targeting Robert Kennedy and his campaign. Epting said, "I want to be clear, Robert Kennedy Jr.'s ill-fated run for the presidency is helping put Donald Trump back in the White House, and we're going to work to stop that. Just as we organize against No Labels, we're going to organize against Robert Kennedy Jr. We're going to let folks know we can't win, but he can help Donald Trump win." A spokesperson for the independent U.S. presidential candidate Robert F. Kennedy Jr. said a passage in the fundraising email that called 6th of January prisoners activists stripped of their constitutional liberties was the result of an error by an outside contractor. The spokesperson, Stephanie Spear, told NBC News, which first reported the fundraising email, that statement was an error that does not reflect Robert Kennedy's views. She added, "It was inserted by a new marketing contractor and slipped through the normal approval process. The email sent by Team Kennedy asked for help, calling out the illiberal actions of our very own government." It also said, "This is the reality that every American citizen faces, from Edward Snowden to Julian Assange, to the January 6 activists sitting in a Washington, D.C. jail, stripped of their constitutional liberties." Edward Snowden, who leaked information about National Security Agency surveillance to media outlets like The Guardian, has lived in Russia for 10 years. Julian Assange founded WikiLeaks, which leaked US national security information also to media outlets including The Guardian. Jailed in Britain since April of 2019, Assange is fighting extradition to the United States. An attorney by training, Robert Kennedy, 70 years old, is the son of U.S. Attorney General Robert F. Kennedy and nephew of a former president, John F. Kennedy. Though his independent campaign is unlikely to win the White House, he has polled strongly.
IRIB English Radio presents Viewpoints.
Viewpoints.
With the presence of different scholars.
The presence of different scholars. IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. This is IRIB English Radio. Here is Viewpoints. I'm Hadi Sarawi, your host. In the history of mankind, there are people who want to oppress others. In the society or all around us, we can find examples of it. Sometimes we fight back, sometimes we quit. But what do you do if you are told to give up your country? In today's episode, we are going to talk about a nation who were told to leave, but instead stayed and fought back and suffered and lots of other things happened. Still stayed for more than 70 years. And today, after these many years, their voices are beginning to be heard. Today, we talk about a nation of courage and sacrifice, Palestine. Let's welcome our guests. Dear brother Ali, thank you for coming.
Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Yeah, this is awesome to have you here with us. And Dr. Rouhani, like always, welcome.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Yeah, this is great to have you here. We are seeing that the different incidents are happening in the world. People from Palestine have returned stronger than before. And they're fighting back. And many people are asking questions, is this the way? Is this, you know, with these bloodshed, these killings, all these things that are happening in Palestine, isn't there a better way, something like talking, democracy, without losing loved ones? Your thoughts, Brother Ali.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. May Allah's peace and blessings be upon the Holy Prophet of Islam, Muhammad, and his immaculate progeny. Well, the issue of Palestine is the first and foremost issue in the Islam world, but even I can say in the whole world. I mean, there is no issue more important than this, because we see in front of our eyes day and night people are massacred and a genocide is happening there. And we see the silence of the world, the so-called, world of modernity is just watching. I mean, there's nothing just to watch. Then when we are talking about a solution, different kinds of solutions comes on the table, the solutions that are usually said on air. So who are giving the solutions? Those who are supporting this usurper regime. I mean, okay, let's sit and talk. Let's give you a share. Talk on what? For example, I come and take your own home from you. Then you tell me, okay, let's sit and talk to see what we can do. How can we share our house between ourselves? Is it rational? Does it have any, I think, logic in it?
Mm.
I mean, when I'm taking your house by force, then what is this talk? What is this discussion? What is it for? I don't know. If we Muslims had a sort of unity in our Islamic Ummah, Islamic communities, I think we didn't have these much chaos and catastrophe in Islamic world. We didn't actually witness this genocide and massacre in Islam world. All this is due to our lack of unity in Islamic world.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see, when we are talking about different options that the Palestinian nation has in front of themselves, what options are we talking about? Based on what? Early leaders of Palestine have experienced all these options, and they have sat and talked and decided on what to do and what not to do. But have they been met at the end of the day? Have they been led to any conclusion at the end of the day? What happened to the Oslo talks? What what happened to the decisions that Yasser Arafat made?
Mm.
Have they been led to any discussion? I mean, though, even after Arafat, whatever discussion was done. But the logic tells us if a person, if a group, if a community, if a country, if a group of people went and usurped another land, there is no way for the talk. The original people, the original inhabitant of that land should sit and talk and decide for themselves.
Mm-hmm.
As I cannot decide for themselves as well.
You mean they have the bigger share?
No, there is no discussion and talk on bigger or less share, brother. This is their own land.
You know, so many people, so there are some discussions on this. After these 70 years, things are so complicated.
So do you mean that if I, for example, take your house from you after 80 years, it will be mine, finished?
No, I'm not saying that.
At least you will confess that a part of it would be mine?
No, I'm not saying that.
So we say that the real original inhabitant of Palestine should come and decide for themselves. Who are they?
Mm.
They are Muslims, Christians, Jews.
The
original inhabitants.
Okay.
They are the real owners of this land. So any other option is void.
Mm.
Cannot be discussed, cannot be talked about. So you might say, okay, yes, there were some talks and discussions. I mean, there were lots of plots and plans. But what happened at the end of the day? Now we see the result. The result is a massacre, for example, of killing...
Women and children.
Killing almost 20-something thousand people in 5 months.
No. And this is a big number.
So it will not lead to any conclusion. Mm-hmm. The only people who deserve to vote, to think, to decide for their own land are Palestinians themselves. Regardless of their religious religious beliefs and religiosity. No, we are talking about the real owners.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, for example, since I'm Muslim and if you are not Muslim, I can take your land, then is there any share for me in taking your own land from you? If just for the case that you are, with the excuse that you are not Muslim?
Mm-hmm.
Vice versa, it cannot happen.
No.
So even the course of history, even the passage of time cannot give this right and legitimacy to those who have reserved the land.
Okay, so, you know, this is something which many people think is very difficult after these many years. I would like to ask you this question. Is it really possible, you know, how to trace the origins, how to trace it back? I mean, I don't know, if I want to know your thoughts. Some people bring this question and then they ask, you know, after these so many years... Imagine if you want to resolve this issue, talk about it, or find the origins, the native people. It's so impossible to do it, and this is what they want. This is something like ethnic cleansing. This is cleaning the place, removing generations to start a new generation. This is done by powers, world powers. What do you think? Your thoughts?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Yes, of course, it is one of the really significant questions that how can we identify the natives, the local people of these lands and areas. From what we have in the historical sources as well as the sacred books of three Abrahamic religions, it is clearly mentioned that the children of Yaqub or children of Israel, they came to the land of Palestine. They were not there. And they came from Egypt by Prophet Moses. When they came later, we had the struggles between Prophet David, for example, and the rest of the prophets with the natives of this area, with the natives of this land. So it is clearly mentioned, and it's completely obvious that they were the original residents of these areas before the Israelites came to these areas. It is mentioned in their own sacred books. If you refer to the Old Testament, New Testament, and the Holy Quran, mm-hmm. and the other historical sources, everything is mentioned clearly that they came to these areas and lands. So, but the residents and the local people lived in many part of the history peacefully with them. Even in the Islamic era and the Islamic, let's say, in the whole these 14 centuries of Islamic history, and most of the part of these histories, the Jews and Christians, Zoroastrians, Muslims, they lived peacefully with each other in all different areas, territory of Islamic world. But of course, recently in the 20th century, so something went wrong in some specific areas, particularly when it comes to the Palestine. So the way that they occupied the lands and the areas of Muslim living areas, so it is the main cause of the problem. But the point is that in this 21st century, all the let's say westernized, let's say societies, Western nations, Western countries, they always claim that we are supporting human rights, women rights, children's rights. I don't know, we support liberty, we support the right of self-defense, you know, all these slogans you see, you hear here and there. But it was quite a really moral scandal and, let's say, political scandal for those so-called and pseudo-supporters of human rights, because thousands of people, innocent civilians, including kids, old ladies, old men and women, innocent civilians, children, hospitals, schools, let's say kindergartens, they were attacked by the army, you know, by the forces, civilians. So when you, for example, face a military group, there's no problem there. If you kill each other, if you fight each other, so that military, let's say, members of that army, they voluntarily came and became the member of that army, and they're now fighting based on this universal right of self-defense, based on which, for example, the U.S. attacked Iraq, the U.S. attacked Afghanistan, the U.S. attacked many other areas. Based on what? On the rule of self-defense. This is a universal law. They say that we have this right to defend ourselves when we are being attacked by their enemies. So now the same self-defense right should be given to the residents of this Palestine. They have also the right to defend themselves when they are attacked, as the Israelites have the same right to defend themselves when they are attacked. But of course, the point is that when you kill the innocent civilians, when you commit genocide, when you thousands of old ladies, kids, children, you know, when you kill these innocent civilians, isn't it? At least I think it shows to the whole world that there are double standards. Sometimes these standards are in somewhere, but they will be ignored in somewhere else. So this is the reality of the world. This is the reality of this, let's say, international kind of laws that we have, unfortunately. For example, when it comes to Ukraine, you see that, of course, everything is different totally. They have the right to defend themselves. They should be supported. They should be supplied, you know, by the army, by the warfares against Russia. Because Russia attacked, for example, and they have the right to defend themselves. When their immigrants went to Europe, they are welcomed. They were facilitated, they will be accepted as the good residents of Europe. But when it comes to the Palestine, they do not have any right to defend themselves.
These double policies,
these double standards are there.
Double standards.
Yeah.
You know, people in the world, I know, are so aware of it, and they can see it and they can feel it. And that's why we have so many support for Palestine all across the globe. We see it even in United States, in England, and different places all across the world. So this is something. Let's get to this, the next question, about the solutions, the road, this road in front of Palestinian people. Success is counted sweetest by those who never succeed. To comprehend the nectar requires sorest needs. As the distant, as he defeated dying, in whose forbidden ear the distant strains of triumph burst agonized and clear. That's all the time we have. Don't forget to tune in next time. I wish the mighty Allah bless you and bless your souls and your hearts. Farewell, everyone.
day we tell each other that this day will be the last, and tomorrow we all can go home free, and all this will finally end. Palestine, tomorrow will be free. Palestine, tomorrow will be free.
Follow us on social media to stay up to date on the latest global developments. You can keep in touch with us by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/ParsTodayEN. You can also follow IRIB English Radio on Instagram via instagram.com/ParsTodayEnglish.
Ayahs, 30 days. A monotheist person not only reflects on the Holy Quran, but also tries to explain the ayahs of this heavenly scripture to others and make them familiar with its teachings. Explicating of the Quranic teachings, first of all, was the duty of prophets and his infallible successors, peace be upon them. Every faithful person too, according to the extent that they had learnt from the Ahlul Bayt, peace be upon them, embarked on this heavy duty. So the ulama or Muslim scholars took over this duty after the occultation of the 12th infallible successor of the Holy Prophet, Imam Mahdi, may God hasten his reappearance, and have seriously continued this job until present day. Today, this duty has become even more important because of the broad assault of the enemies against the beliefs of Islam and humanity. Today, in the 27th episode of the Ramadan special series, we're going to focus on ayahs 13 and 14 of Surah Al-Hadid of the Holy Quran, on the topic of hypocrisy and demagoguery. Stay with us. A rat's house, like every house, has a door. But this door is not the only entrance to it. A rat always digs a tunnel which leads to the furthest point. It comes to the surface through this door, but it keeps the tunnel secret. It leaves a layer of soil very carefully so that, in case of danger, it can strike it with a blow to be able to escape. A hypocrite acts like this. He has a door called Islam, and the other door is the one where he can exit secretly. Basically, people are put into three categories in Islam: the faithful, the faithless, and the hypocrites. A faithful person who believes in Islam both in his heart and in his actions. A faithless person is the one who does not believe in God, the Holy Prophet, and the Holy Quran, and announces it openly. But a hypocrite is a person who speaks in some way while he acts very differently. He's a person who conceals his faithlessness. A hypocrite is very dangerous for Islam. Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, has said, "I'm not afraid of a faithful person or a polytheist person, because the faith of a faithful person does not allow him to cause danger for Islam, and as far as a polytheist is concerned, God will destroy him for his polytheism. But I'm afraid of a hypocrite who speaks to you according to your beliefs while he acts against what you believe." A brief look at the Holy Quran shows that a significant part of it is about hypocrisy and hypocrites. They always try to move between truth and falsehood. Hypocrites live with us, pray with us, but they are not with us. This separation will be fully distinguished on the Day of Judgment. The Almighty has talked about this in Ayah 13 of Surah Al-Hadid in the Holy Quran. "The day the hypocrites, men and women, will say to the faithful, 'Please, let up on us, that we may glean something from your light.' They will be told, 'Go back and grope for light.' Then there will be set up between them a wall with a gate, with mercy on its interior and punishment towards its exterior." This ayah is about the Day of Resurrection. Everyone will move towards their perpetual homes. The faithful will move in their way with their light. But the hypocrites will not have any light and ask for light from the faithful. This means that as they used to plunge in ignorance and hypocrisy, they will stay in darkness of ignorance and will beseech others for light. They were with the faithful in the world, but their hearts were with the faithless. So they come with the faithful up to paradise, but they cannot enter it, and are cast in hell with the faithless. The next ayah, ayah 4 of Surah Al-Hadid, reads, "They will call out to them, 'Did we not used to be with you?' They will say, 'Yes,' but you cast yourselves into temptation, and you awaited for reverse fortune for the faithful, and were doubtful, and false hopes deceived you until the edict of Allah arrived, and the deceiver deceived you concerning Allah." There have always been hypocrites in human communities, but hypocrisy continues to become more and more complicated just as progress and development in human communities continues. There is little said on hypocrisy and hypocrites in the heavenly books before the Holy Quran. This is due to the fact that the human life used to be simple and people were frank in early eras. But as much as civilizations grew and communications were established among human communities, individuals and communities became more and more complicated and tried to hide their sentiments and inner thoughts. Until we reached present day, the age of communications, the digital age, and the age of cyberspace. This is the age in which one can portray things upside down and present the opposite of everything. This age can be called the age of hypocrisy. What we can see in the international arena is that some countries try to masquerade as Muslim countries, and this is clearly hypocrisy. These countries participate in Islamic conferences and events and chant slogans in support of Muslims, but in practice, they're beside the arch enemy of Muslims, the United States, and the Israeli regime. Nearly 34,000 innocent civilians, mostly Palestinian women and children, have been massacred in the Gaza Strip, while the United States of America explicitly announces that it has provided the main bulk of ammunition and weaponry for the Israeli regime. In other words, the American bases in Saudi Arabia, Bahrain, United Arab Emirates, Kuwait, Turkey and so on are the places which act as US liaison for the Israeli genocide in Gaza. These bases are located in countries whose leaders feign sympathy with Palestinian brothers and sisters. The United Arab Emirates is among the main countries which has sent humanitarian aid to Palestine, yet this country seriously pursues normalization of ties with the Zionist regime. Turkey is among the main providers of fuel for the Israeli aircraft and ships, whereas it lashes out at Israel with fiery remarks. One of the representatives of Turkish political parties said on the performance of his government towards Israel, "The pilots who bombard Gaza are trained in Konya and their fuel is provided from Iskenderun in Turkey." Dear listeners, the founder of the Islamic Republic of Iran, the late Imam Khomeini, may God bless his soul, said, "The hypocrites are worse than the faithless." This reveals how surreptitiously dangerous they are and how serious blows they can deal to Islam and Muslims.
Iranian news, Iranian culture, Iranian voice. This is IRIB English Radio. This is IRIB English Radio. Coming up is the news.
Israeli airstrikes and artillery fire kill scores more civilians in Gaza as the death toll from the regime's genocide near